I was stressing out quite a lot about results day, because that's what I always do. I was also stressing out because I hadn't seen or talked to my school friends in almost 3 weeks. With my luck, I could just walk in, grab my results and scarper before anyone could ask me the dreaded, "How were your results?" question. "I'm sure you've done fine, France," said Mum, shutting the car door. We'd just arrived at school and I was boiling in my school suit. Oh, God, sorry. That's literally the least helpful thing I could possibly say. "Pretty much," I said. We walked through the car park, into the sixth form block and up the stairs to the ILC. Mum kept glancing at me. I think she wanted to say something, but honestly, there really isn't anything to say when you're about to read four letters that shape the rest of your life. The room was packed because Mum and I were a bit late. There were teachers at desks handing out brown envelopes. There were wine glasses on the table at the back for the parents. A girl from my history class was crying only 5 metres away, and I tried not to look at her. "I'll get you some wine," said Mum. I turned to her. She looked at me and said, "Well, it's just school, isn't it?" "It's just school." I shook my head. "It's never just school." Mum sighed. "It doesn't matter, though, in the big scheme of things." "If you say so," I said, rolling my eyes. I got 4 A grades. That's the highest you can get at AS level. I expected to be happy about it. I expected to be jumping up and down and crying from joy. But I didn't feel any of that. It just wasn't disappointment. My year 10 results day was the day before Caris ran away. It was her year 11 results day, which was obviously important because that's when you get most of your GCSE results. I knew she never got very good grades, but that was the only day I ever saw her get upset about it. I'd just got my results for the science GCSE I'd taken a year early, for which I'd received an A star. And I was walking out of this same room, the ILC, with Mum, staring at the tiny Times New Roman A star, the first of many to come. We walked down the stairs and were about to exit the building when Caris and Carol last walked right past the open door, heading towards the car park. I heard the words, "Really quite pathetic." And I guess it was Carol who said them. But to this day, I can't be sure. Caris had tears streaming down her face, and her mum was holding onto her arm so tight that it must have hurt. I drank the wine Mum stole for me in pretty much one go, facing the wall so none of the teachers saw me. Then we passed Dr. Afalayan, who tried to catch my eye, and we walked out of the room and down the stairs and out of the building and into the sunlight. My grip on my results envelope had crumpled it and smudged my name. "Are you okay?" said Mum. "You don't seem very happy." She was right, but I didn't know why. "Francis!" I spun round, praying it wasn't any of my friends, but of course it was. It was Rain Singupta. She'd been leaning on a railing outside the building, talking to someone I didn't know. She walked up to me. She'd had the right side of her hair freshly shaved. "All good, mate?" she said, nodding at my envelope. I smiled. "Yeah. Yep. 4 A's." "Holy shit, well done." "Thanks. Yeah, I'm really pleased." "So you're all good for Cambridge, yeah?" "Yeah, I should be." "Sweet." There was a pause. "How about you?" I asked. Rain shrugged. 2 C's, a D and an E. "Not great, but I think Afalayan will let me back in, if I do some retakes." "Oh." I had no idea what to say, and Rain could obviously tell. She laughed. It's fine. I don't do any work, and my art coursework was proper shit. We said some awkward goodbyes, and me and Mum walked off again. Who was that? Said Mum, once we got into the car. Rain Sengupta. I don't think you've mentioned her before. She's just in our friendship group. We're not that close. My phone buzzed, and it was a text from Alid, and he said, Alid last. 4A stars. I'm in. Mum flipped the sun visor down in front of her and said, ready to go home? And I said, yeah. The Circle of Evils. There was a huge Facebook event for the post-exams night happening at Johnny R's on the same day, which everyone in sick form had been invited to. But I didn't really want to go. Firstly, everyone was just going to get drunk, which I could do perfectly well by myself, in my lounge, while watching YouTube videos, instead of having to worry about catching the last train home or avoiding sexual assault. Secondly, I hadn't really spoken to any of my school friends, apart from Rain, very recently, and I think if we were in The Sims, our friendship bar would almost be back to nothing. I knew Alid was busy celebrating his birthday with Daniel, which was a bit weird since I didn't think they'd actually spent a lot of time together recently. But Daniel was actually his lifelong best friend, so fair enough. Mum had bought champagne and said we could order pizza and play Trivial Pursuit. I'd be able to give Alid his present tomorrow. What I was not expecting was Daniel Jun knocking on my door at 9:43 p.m. I was pretty tipsy, but even if I'd been sober, I still would have laughed my ass off. He was wearing his old grammar school uniform, the one he'd worn until sixth form when he'd moved to the academy. In theory, it was completely normal. A black blazer and trousers and a plain navy tie and a crest with a gold T on it. But since Daniel's year 12 growth spurt, the trousers ended just above his ankles, and the blazer was so tight and short in the arms that he looked absolutely ridiculous. He just stood there, eyebrows raised, while I laughed and laughed. Oh my God, you look like Bruno Mars. There were small tears forming in my eyes. Daniel frowned. Bruno Mars is of Puerto Rican and Filipino heritage, not Korean, so that's incredibly offensive. I was referring to the shortness of your trousers. Are you auditioning for Jersey Boys? He blinked. Yes. Yes, that's actually my life goal. I wrote it on my careers survey. Your Bruno Mars trivia is impressive, by the way. I leaned against the doorway. You don't fancy a game of Trivial Pursuit, do you? I'm right in the middle of one. Well, why else would I possibly be here, Francis? We looked at each other. There was a pause. Why are you here? I said. Aren't you supposed to be with Alid? He raised his eyebrows again. Basically, we were going to go to the post-exams thing at Johnny R's, but Alid doesn't really want to. And he was saying that it'd be nice to see you on his birthday. I thought you two were hanging out. We are, actually. Without me. We have been, so far. So I'd be the ultimate third wheel. He laughed. Yeah, I know, right? I considered shutting the door in his face. Are you coming or not? He said. Are you going to be a dick to me for the entire evening if I do? Probably. At least he was honest. Okay, fine, I said. But I have two questions. Firstly, why are you wearing your old grammar school uniform? That was the theme of the post-exams Johnny R's thing. He puts his hand in his pockets. Did you even read the Facebook event? I skimmed it. Right. Secondly, why isn't Alid here? I told him I was going to take a piss. He thinks you're in the loo right now. Yup. I stared at Daniel. This was entirely his idea. He was actually doing something nice for someone. Sure, if he was going to do anything nice for anyone ever, it was probably going to be Alid. But still, this was something. All right then, I said. Cool. It's going to be awkward though, since you literally despise me. I don't literally despise you, he said. That's so dramatic. I put on his posh accent. Oh, sorry. I mean, we don't particularly get on. Only because you give me evils all the time. Excuse me? You're the one who gives me evils all the time. We stared at each other. An evil's paradox, I continued. The circle of evils. Evilception. Are you wearing that? He said. I looked down. I was wearing my Batman onesie. Yeah, I said. Problem? So many, he said, turning round. So many problems. So I went inside and told my mum I was going to Alid's. And she said that was fine, because she needed to catch up on the Great British Bake Off, and could I please not be too loud when I came in. And then I grabbed my keys from the bowl near the door, and Alid's birthday card and present from the kitchen table, and put some shoes on. And I took one last look at myself in the landing mirror. My makeup was pretty crap, and my hair had started to fall out of its top knot. But I didn't really care that much. What were we going to do? Get more drunk in Alid's lounge? That's all there was to do, apparently. I don't know. So, yeah. Drinking. Cool. I don't know. Power station. I don't know whether you're aware, I said, as we walked down the road in the complete opposite direction to Alid's house, but this is not the way to Alid's house. You're so amazingly intelligent, Daniel said. Did you get your 4 A's? Yep. Did you? Yep. Nice. Then I shook my head. So, where are we going? I'm not exactly dressed to go out. Daniel was walking a couple of steps ahead. He spun round and started walking backwards, looking at me. His face brought out of the dark by the street lamps. We thought we'd camp in the field, he said. Is that legal? Probably not. Ah, you're breaking a rule. I'm so proud. He just turned away from me. Hilarious. I haven't seen you and Alid hanging out much this summer, I said. He didn't look at me. So? I don't know. Have you been on holiday? He laughed. I wish. You said you hadn't seen much of him. When did I say that? I was getting the sense that I was venturing into awkward territory. You know, before my history exam, you came to talk to me? Oh, no, we've just been busy. I work like 5 days a week at Frankie and Benny's in town. And, you know, he's not very good at replying to texts. He always replied to my texts. But I didn't say that to Daniel. How do you two get so close anyway? He said with a frown. I rescued him from a club, I said. And Daniel didn't say anything. He looked away and stuffed his hands into his pockets. The sky wasn't quite black yet. It was still sort of dark blue and hazy. But you could see the moon and a few stars, which was nice, I guess. We climbed over the stile and into the empty field next to the village, and I was struck by how quiet it was. There wasn't any wind, any cars, any anything. I felt like I hadn't been anywhere so quiet in my whole life. Even though I've lived here, in the countryside, since I was born. In a patch of dry earth in the middle of the field was a small campfire, and next to that was a large tent, and next to that was Alid last, his whole body glowing gold from the fire. He was wearing his actual uniform, which fitted him, because he'd worn it within the past 2 months. But it still looked sort of odd on him. Probably because I was used to seeing him dressed in interestingly coloured shorts and oversized knitwear. How was he 18? How could anyone I knew possibly be 18 years old? I ran past Daniel and his ankle swingers, ran through the grass and fell on top of Alid. An hour later and we were 3/4 of the way through a bottle of vodka, which did not bode well for me because alcohol just makes me fall asleep. Alid had opened his present. It was a radio shaped like a skyscraper. The windows lit up in time with the audio that was playing. He told me that it was the best thing he'd ever seen in his whole life, which was probably a lie, but I was glad he liked it. It was battery operated, so we put Radio 1 on in the background, and there was some kind of electronic themed show going on, lots of mellow synth and low bass. The lights of the town and the power station flickered in the distance. Daniel took one look at it and then said, "Jesus fucking Christ, you know about Universe City, don't you?" Drunk Daniel was only more sarcastic and more sweary and more patronising than sober Daniel. But somehow, that made it easier to laugh at him rather than punch him in the face. I said. Alid said. "Don't me. I can see right through you both." Daniel threw his head back and laughed. Well, it was only a matter of time before someone worked it out. He leaned towards me. "How long have you been listening? Were you there when I used to play bass in the theme tune?" I laughed. "You play bass?" "Not anymore." Alid interrupted before I could say anything else. For the last half an hour, he'd been setting a sticker light and making shapes with the fire in the air like a sparkler. "She's the new artist." Daniel frowned. "Artist?" "Yeah, she made the GIF for last week's episode." "Oh." Daniel's voice quietened a little. "I haven't listened to last week's yet." Alid grinned. "You're such a fake fan." "Well, shut up, I'm obviously a fan." "Fake fan. I was the first person to even subscribe. Fake fan." Daniel chucked a handful of dirt at Alid, and Alid laughed and rolled over to avoid it. This whole evening was silly. I didn't really understand why we were hanging out. Alid wasn't in my year group. He didn't go to my school. Daniel didn't even like me. What sort of a friendship group is two boys and one girl? Daniel and Alid started talking about their results. "I'm just really relieved," Daniel was saying. "Like getting into a good uni to do biology. I've wanted it for like 6 years. I'd hate myself if I messed it up now." "I'm really pleased for you," said Alid, who was lying on his side, still poking a stick into the fire. "You must be really pleased for you, though." Yeah, I don't know," said Alid, which I didn't really get. Why wouldn't he be pleased about his results? "It's good, I just don't think I care about anything that much." "You care about Universe City," I said. Alid glanced at me. Yeah. Okay, that's true." I could feel myself getting tired and my eyes shutting. Karis popped into my head. We'd got drunk like this on the same day 2 years ago. Results night. At that house party. That had been a bad night. When exactly was I going to bring Karis up with Alid? "Well, I saw a lot of people crying about their grades this morning, so I think you should be celebrating," said Daniel. He passed the vodka and Coke bottles to Alid. "Drink up, birthday boy." I knew I'd reach the next level of drunk soon, where I'd say stuff I'd regret later. Maybe I'd fall asleep before then. but maybe I wouldn't. I ripped some grass out of the ground and started scattering it into the fire. Kanye would have liked it. We were in a field, and then we weren't, and then we were again. Somehow, I'd acquired a blanket, and Alid and I were singing along to Kanye West. Alid knew the full rap, but I didn't, so he gave a dramatic performance in front of the stars. It was warm and the sky was lovely. Kanye wouldn't have liked it. We were in the tent, and Daniel had fallen asleep after throwing up in the brambles and staggering back to us with a giant scratch all up one arm. And Alid is saying, on the one hand, I'm thinking, yeah, this work is important. Like, it's really important that I get the grades and get accepted. But on the other hand, my brain is just like, I don't know. I just don't care. It'll all be all right in the end or something. Like, so it's getting to the point where I just don't do any work if I don't have to. I only do the things I have to do. But I just don't care. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. For some reason, I keep nodding and smiling and saying, yeah. I'm asking Alid, who's February Friday? But he's saying, I can't tell you. And I'm saying, but we're friends. And he's saying, that's irrelevant. Are you in love with them? Like the fandom says. He laughs and doesn't answer. We're standing in the middle of the field, seeing who can scream the loudest. We're taking blurry nighttime photos and tweeting them to each other. And I'm wondering whether this is a good idea, even though I know no one would be able to make out our faces, but somehow struggling to do anything about it. Radio at Universe City. At Toulouse, Toulouse Candid. Blurry photo of her with a double chin. Toulouse. At Toulouse. At Universe City. Radio revealed. Blurry photo of Alid's shoes. We're lying in the grass. I say, I think I can hear a fox. Alid says, the voice inside my head is radio's voice. I say, how are you not cold? Alid says, I stopped feeling anything ages ago. We're lying in the tent. I say, I used to get these really bad nightmares called night terrors, where you wake up and you still think you're in the nightmare. Alid says, every night I get chest pains and I'm convinced I'm going to die. I say, you're not supposed to get them once you're a teenager. Alid says, chest pains or night terrors? We've been trying to record an episode of Universe City for the past 10 minutes. But all that's happened so far is Alid and I have played a game of tag, resulting in me falling on him again. By accident this time. I spent a good few minutes pretending to be a character I made up on the spot and called Toulouse, like my internet identity. And now all three of us are playing Never Have I Ever. Never have I ever. Alid taps his chin. Never have I ever farted and blamed it on someone else. Daniel groans and I laugh. And both of us take a swig of our drinks. You haven't done that? I asked Alid. No, I'm not that shameless. I take responsibility for my actions. Fine. Never have I ever, I look between the pair, broken a curfew. Daniel laughs and says, you're lame, and takes a drink. But Alid shoots him a look and says, I'm lame as well then. And Daniel immediately looks guilty. Never have I ever, Daniel taps his bottle, said, I love you and didn't mean it. I make a long ooh sound. Alid raises his cup as if to take a drink, but then seemingly changes his mind and rubs his eye instead. Or maybe he just needed to rub his eye in the first place. Neither of us drink. Okay, never have I ever. Alid pauses then, and his eyes glaze over. Never have I ever wanted to go to university. Daniel and I don't say anything for a moment. And then Daniel laughs like Alid's probably joking. And then Alid laughs like he's probably joking too. But I don't know what to do, because it doesn't feel like Alid is joking at all. I doze off not long after that in the tent, and then wake up to find Daniel sleeping next to me, but Alid nowhere. I stumble out of the tent to see him walking in circles in the grass, his phone close to his mouth, mumbling things I can't quite hear properly. I wander over to him and ask, "What are you saying?" And he looks up and his whole body flinches and he says, "Jesus Christ, I didn't hear you coming." And then both of us forget what we were talking about. Daniel wakes up to seeing nothing left for us, with us. The visuals are just blurry shapes, us running across the landscape in the dark, flashes of eyes, flashes of skin. We post the episode to YouTube before we change our minds. Daniel and I lie next to each other and he says, "One day, when I was 5, some girl made fun of my real name. Like, all day. She was just running round the playground screaming, 'Dai Sung, Dai Sung, Dai Sung, Dai Sung's got a stupid name.' In a really silly voice. It made me so upset, like I was crying. And my teacher had to call my mum. And I was still crying, and my mum came to pick me up. My mum's honestly the sweetest lady in the world, and she took me home and she said to me, 'How about we give you a real English name, huh? We live in England now, and you're an English boy.' Which made me really happy at the time, and she told my school to change my name on the register to Daniel. And that was that." I nod at him. "Do you wish people called you Dai Sung?" "Yeah. I know my mum had good intentions, but Daniel feels like a lie. I might change it back once I get to university. I wish I had an Ethiopian name sometimes," I say. "Or just an East African name. I wish I was closer to my ethnicity in general, really." Daniel rolls his head towards me. "What about your parents? Aren't they?" "My mum's white. My dad's Ethiopian, but he and my mum got divorced when I was 4, and he lives in Scotland now with his own family. We still talk on the phone fairly often, but I only see him a few times a year. And I hardly ever see my grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins from that side of the family. I just wish I was closer to them. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only black person I know. Like, my dad's surname is Mengesha. I wish I was Francis Mengesha." "Francis Mengesha. That sounds good. I know, right? Your initials would be FM, like FM radio." We can still hear the fox. It sounds like someone being brutally murdered. Alid lies down next to the fire and closes his eyes. And Daniel rolls over and kneels up and puts his hands flat on the grass on each side of Alid's face and leans over him. Alid opens his eyes but can't keep eye contact. His eyes scrunch up as he laughs and rolls over, pushing Daniel away. I go to investigate the fox. I head towards the sound, towards the National Trust footpath, through the woods. And you think I'd be scared or something, in the dark, in the woods, in the night. But I'm not. I almost make it there when a person starts walking towards me. And that's when I get scared. Shit scared. I nearly fall over or turn and run, but then I shine my phone light on the person. And it's legitimately Caris Last, wandering around in the dark, in the middle of the night, and I'm like, Jesus Christ! No, wait. It's not her. It's just a dream. Wait, am I asleep now? Not him, Caris says. It's me. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Jesus, because she looks like she's walking out of heaven itself. Or maybe it's just my phone torch shining on her skin and her platinum hair. I wasn't dreaming. This did happen. 2 years ago, on results night. We'd been at a house party. She'd wandered off into the woods. Why am I remembering this now? Are you like a werefox? I asked her. No, I just like wildlife, she said, at night. You shouldn't walk around in the dark at night. Neither should you. Well, shit, you caught me there. Maybe nothing was happening. We'd been drinking, me especially, and we'd been to a lot of house parties before this. I was getting used to the way people would just pass out one by one, or throw up in plant pots. I was getting used to the group of boys who would always sit in the garden and smoke weed because, well, I don't really know why they did it. I was getting used to the way people got off with each other, without a second thought, even if it made me feel disgusting to even watch it happen. We walked back to the party together. It was 2, maybe 3 in the morning. We walked through the back garden gate and past some bodies in the grass. She'd been so quiet that day. Quiet and sad. We sat down on a sofa in the lounge. It was so dark inside we could barely see each other. What's wrong? I said. Nothing, she said. I didn't push it, but after a moment she continued. I'm jealous of you, said Caris. What? Why? How do you just slide through life like that? Friends, school, family. She shook her head. How do you just slide through it all without fucking up? I opened my mouth to say something, but nothing came out. You've got so much more power than you think you do, she said. But you just waste it. You just do whatever anyone else says. I still didn't know what she was talking about. So I just said, you're weird for 15. Ha! You sound like an adult. I frowned. You're the one being patronizing as fuck. You get sweary when you're drunk. I'm always sweary inside my head. Everyone's different inside their head. You're so... Suddenly, we're by the fire and Alid's asleep next to Daniel in the tent, and time keeps skipping. How did we get here? Is Caris actually here? In the gold light of the fire, she looks demonic. Why are you like this? I ask her. I want... She has a drink in her hand. Where did that come from? This isn't really happening. This didn't really happen. I just want somebody to listen to me. I don't remember when she left or anything else she said apart from 2 minutes later when she stood up and said, nobody listens to me. Blanket bundle. We were lying down on Alid's living room carpet. The tent had been a bad idea. It was cold and we'd run out of water and none of us wanted to pee outdoors. So we stumbled inside. We must have done, I guess. I don't remember it happening. I just remember Alid muttering something about his mum being away with family for a few days. Which was weird, because why wouldn't you be with your son on his birthday? Daniel fell asleep again on the sofa, and Alid and I huddled up on the floor. We had blankets on top of us, and all the lights were off, and all I could see of Alid was his pale eyes. All I could hear was a low synth rumble coming from the skyscraper radio. I couldn't quite believe how much I seriously loved Alid last, even if it wasn't in the ideal way that would make it socially acceptable for us to live together until we die. Alid rolled over so he was facing me. "Did you hang out with Karis much?" he asked, his voice barely above a murmur. "Apart from on the train." We hadn't talked about Karis before. "We weren't really friends, to be honest," I lied. "We hung out when I was in year 10, but we weren't really friends." Alid kept on looking at me. There was a slight twitch of his eyebrows. I wanted to ask why he never sat with his sister on the train to school. I wanted to ask whether Karis ever spoke about me during that summer when we were all 15. I wanted to ask what she'd said when she got home the night I kissed her. Whether she was still angry. Whether she'd told him how she'd screamed at me. Whether she'd said she hated me now. Whether she'd always hated me. I wanted to ask whether he ever heard from her. But I couldn't. So I didn't. I wanted to tell him that it was my fault she was gone. I wanted to tell him that I'd once had a crush on his sister, and one day I kissed her when she was sad because I thought it was the right thing to do, even though I'd been wrong. You know, Alid's voice faded out and he didn't speak for half a minute. My mum won't tell me where she is, or how she is. What? Why not? She doesn't want me to see her. My mum hates her. I mean, properly hates. Not just parental disapproval or whatever. My mum never wants to see her again. That's really messed up. Sometimes I was hit by the weight of all the things I didn't know. Not just about Karis, but about anything. Everything. What's it like to have a parent you don't like, or who doesn't like you? What's it like to run away from home? I don't know. I'll never know. I'll always feel awful about not knowing. I think it might have been my fault, I said.
What was?
Karis running away? Alid frowned.
What? Why would you say that?
I needed to tell him. I said, I kissed her. I ruined our friendship. Alid blinked, startled.
What? Did you?
I nodded and breathed out and felt like I'd just jumped out of the ocean.
It wasn't your fault, he said. That wasn't...
He cleared his throat.
It's not your fault.
I hated myself. I hated myself so much I wanted to sink into the floor and fall into the earth's core. I'm not friends with you because of her, I said.
I didn't think you were.
He hugged me then. It was a bit difficult as we were both lying on the floor. But basically, we went from being two separate blanket bundles to being one giant blanket bundle. I don't know how long we stayed like that. I hadn't checked my phone for ages. Then he said,
"Do you think we'll be famous one day?"
And I said, I don't know. I don't think I really want to be famous. I guess it's stressful. People trying to work out our identities all the time. The fandom, they're insane. Beautiful and passionate, but insane. I smiled. It's kind of fun. Feels like we're part of some giant mystery. He smiled back. We are part of some giant mystery. Do you want to be famous? I just want to be special. You are special. He laughed and said, shut up. Dark blue. The next thing I remember is waking up on the carpet, freezing cold in the dark. Maybe it was 3 a.m. Maybe 4 a.m. My mouth tasting like something you'd use in a chemistry lesson. Everything around me dead. Dust floating in the air. Alid and Daniel gone. I desperately needed to pee, so I got out of the bundle of blankets and wandered out of the room towards the bathroom, but stopped immediately when I heard voices coming from the kitchen. They didn't see me in the doorway because it was almost completely dark. I could barely see them either. They were just slightly moonlit splotches. But I didn't really need to. They were sitting at the dining table. Alid with his head on his arm, Daniel with his chin in one hand, looking at each other. Daniel took a sip from a bottle that might have been wine, I wasn't sure. There was a long pause before either of them said anything. Yeah, but it's not about people knowing, said Alid. It's not about anyone else. I literally don't care what anyone else would think about it. You've quite clearly been avoiding me, said Daniel. We've barely seen each other all summer. You were busy. You were working. Yeah, but I'd make time for you if you wanted me to. You just don't seem like you want me to. I do want you to. Then can't you just tell me what the issue is? Daniel sounded annoyed. Alid's voice got even quieter. There's not an issue. If you don't like me, just say it. There's no point lying. Well, obviously I like you. I mean like that. Alid raised his free hand and poked Daniel on the arm. But as he replied, he seemed to be talking almost entirely to himself. Well, why would we do this if I didn't like you like that? Daniel was staying quite still. Well, exactly. Exactly. I think that's when I realised what was happening. Seconds before it happened. I don't even remember feeling surprised. I don't know what I felt. Maybe a bit lonely? Alid raised his head and lifted his arms. Daniel leaned into them and rested his head on Alid's chest. And Alid hugged him tightly, rubbing a hand slowly across Daniel's back. When they drew apart, Alid sat there, waiting for it to happen. Daniel lifted a hand and ran it through Alid's hair and said, "You need a haircut." And then leaned in and kissed him. I turned around. I didn't need to see any more. I woke up sometime later on the carpet, freezing in the dark, and Alid was breathing like he was an astronaut running out of oxygen. Sitting up next to me with his head bent forwards and his face completely covered by his hands. Daniel wasn't here. Alid kept breathing and holding his head, and I sat up and put my hand on his shoulder and said, "Alid." But he didn't look at me. He just kept shaking, and I suddenly realised that he was crying. I tried to move so he could look at me, and I said, "Alid," again, but nothing happened. And then he made a really horrible moaning noise. And it wasn't just crying. This was worse. This was the crying where you want to scratch out your eyes and smash a wall, and I couldn't stand it. I can't ever stand it when other people cry, especially like this. I put my arms around him and held him, and his whole body was shaking. And I didn't know what else to do. So I just stayed like that and said, "What's wrong?" Probably a billion times. But he just kept shaking his head, and I didn't know what that meant. When I managed to get him to lie down, I asked it again, and he just said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And minutes later, he said, "I don't want to go to university." And I think he might still have been crying when I fell asleep. The next time I woke up, Daniel was on the sofa inside a sleeping bag like he was camping under the stars. I realized, suddenly, that Daniel was February Friday. Of course he was. Secret romance, childhood best friend. Could this get any more romantic? Not that I knew anything about that stuff. I thought I'd feel happy about finally knowing, but I didn't feel anything. I looked up at the ceiling, half expecting to find some stars there, but there wasn't anything at all. I needed to pee again, urgently, so I sat up and glanced at Alid, who was asleep again, lying next to me on the floor, his head turned towards me, one hand curled under his cheek. And I squinted and I thought that the skin under his eyes was kind of purple, which was weird. But I suppose it might have been the light, which seemed to be stuck in a permanent state of dark blue. 2. Summer Holiday B. The Worst Episode. I'd woken up at sleepovers many times before, but never with someone sleeping with their arm around me, which was what Alid was doing when I woke up at 11:34 a.m. the next day, with what felt like a fireworks display happening inside my brain. I didn't remember a lot, but I did remember that Alid and Daniel were a thing. Daniel was February Friday. Alid had started crying for no reason, and we'd recorded and posted a drunk episode of Universe City. I felt like something bad had happened, even though nothing had. When I got back into the lounge with a bowl of cereal, Alid and Daniel were sitting next to each other on the floor. I wondered whether they'd had some kind of argument last night, which would explain Alid's random breakdown, but they were almost leaning on each other, watching a video on Alid's phone. It took me 2 seconds to realise what it was. I sat down next to them and watched in silence. When it had finished, Daniel said, "Well, that's embarrassing." Alid said, "That's the worst episode we've ever made." I said, "Look at the views." The views, which were normally around 5,000 or 6,000 for a new episode, were at 30,327. 5 weird things I'm obsessed with. A famous YouTuber had promoted Universe City on his channel. The video was called 5 Weird Things I'm Obsessed With. And alongside a piggy bank shaped like a pig in a tutu, a Doge app, a game called Can Your Pet, and a landline phone in the shape of a burger. The YouTuber spoke about how much he loved this weird, underrated podcast called Universe City. The YouTuber had over 3 million subscribers. His video, 4 hours after he posted it, was at 300,000 views, and he'd linked to the Universe City episode in the video description. It took 2 minutes on Tumblr for me to find out that this had happened. And still, sitting on the carpet, Alid, Daniel, and I watched the video on Alid's phone. And lastly, I wanted to talk about this bizarre channel that I'm obsessed with. The YouTuber held up a hand and a picture of Universe City's logo popped up on the screen. Universe City. It's a podcast show about a student sending out SOS messages from the futuristic university they're trapped inside. What I love about the show is that nobody knows who makes it, and it has all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories about it, like whether the characters are actually real people in real life. I only just thought of adding this on this video at the last minute because the creator of the show posted a new episode about half an hour ago, probably a few hours ago for you guys watching this video, and it's just reached a whole new level of weird. You can hardly work out what's going on at all. One minute, there are just rustling sounds and shouting. And next, there are people playing Never Have I Ever. Then the main character, Radio Silence, is having a rant. It's so weird, and I love that you just have no idea what's happening most of the time. I genuinely stayed up until 6 a.m. once, just reading about all the mysteries and conspiracies in the show. If you like all my weird stories on this channel, you should definitely go and check it out. I'll leave a link in the description. This is so surreal, said Alid. Yeah, I said. I'd watched this particular YouTuber's videos since I was 14. I wish he'd linked to the first episode, said Alid. I was going to take this episode down. I frowned. You want to take it down? Yeah, he said. It's ridiculous and shit. He paused. I didn't even upload it on a Friday. I've always uploaded on Fridays. Well, at least it's got more people into the show. That's good. He said. Then he groaned and put his head in a hand. Why did I upload that? Daniel and I said nothing. I don't think we knew what to say. I thought we were supposed to be happy about this, but maybe that was wrong. Alid didn't look happy about it. He got up and said he was going to make some toast. And Daniel and I gave each other a look. And then Daniel got up and walked after him. And I sat very still and watched the new episode again. Universe City Podcast. Episode 126, Ghost School. Posted by Universe City. ? What?
Do you remember how the rabbits glared as we drove down the road? Jealous, maybe. Or scared. I was always behind her, waiting for the window to drop. The Latin name for fox is vulpes vulpes. You always thought that sounded nice. I'm so angry about these ghost school problems. Problems feels like an overstatement. Are you gonna go smoke your little cigarettes while you lean out of the window under the stars? You were always brave enough to get burned in the fire. I wonder if you regret your obsession with Bukowski. I regret it, and it wasn't even me who had it. At least you were careless enough to admit that you were obsessed with something. I only say horrible things because I feel guilty. I don't want anything to do with this anymore. I hate people telling me what I have to do. Why should I have to go just because everyone's telling me to? My mother? Nobody should be able to make decisions for me. I'm here now and I'm waiting and it's going to happen. Was there even any choice involved? Do I sound like I care about school? I don't remember it happening. I don't remember anything I've done. Or why. Everything's very confused. Everything's better under the stars, I suppose. If we get another life after we die, I'll meet you there, old sport.
Sleep now. Friday, 16th of August. 21:39. Alid last. Francis, it's at 50,270 now. Help. 23:40. Francis Janvier. Yeah. Damn, that YouTuber has a lot of influence. Quite amazing, really. 23:46. Alid last. Of all the episodes that could have gone viral, it had to be that one, didn't it? Lol, great. 23:50. Francis Janvier. Oh man, I'm so sorry. You could always just take it down. It's your show, you have control. 23:52. Alid last. No, I can't waste this. It's already got me over 3k new subscribers. 23:53. Francis Janvier. Holy shit, seriously. 23:54. Alid last. Yep, lots of the YouTube comments said that they really liked to lose. 23:55. Francis Janvier. Really? I was rubbish though, oh my god. 23:55. Alid last. Honestly, I haven't had a reaction this positive to a sidekick for ages. Wanna be in the next one? 23:56. Francis Janvier. Yes? Are you sure? 23:57. Alid last. I wouldn't have asked if I wasn't sure. Ha ha. 23:58. Francis Janvier. 14 heart emojis. Tuesday, the 20th of August. 11:20. Alid last. 50,000 subscribers. This calls for a trip to Pizza Hut. You got any cash? 11:34. Francis Janvier. Mate, congratulations. Yeah, I'll see you in 5. Wednesday, the 21st of August. 02:17. Alid last. Hey, do you want to sing Nothing Left for Us when we record tomorrow? By yourself. 02:32. Francis Janvier. By myself? You are aware that I can't sing at all, right? I'm completely tone deaf. 02:34. Alid last. Good. That'll make it more interesting. Friday the 30th of August. 04:33. Alid last. 75,000 subscribers. How? Why? We literally just got drunk and rambled at a camera. 10:45. Francis Janvier. Coming round yours right now. Mate, you're asleep, aren't you? Wake up or I will repeatedly ring the doorbell. 11:03. Alid last. Stop ringing the doorbell, please. Sunday the 1st of September. 00:34. Francis Janvier. Don't want to go to school tomorrow. Can I come to university with you? 00:35. Alid last. No. Go to sleep. 00:36. Francis Janvier. You clearly don't know me. 00:37. Alid last. 4 a.m. bedtimes have to stop now. Summer is over. 0037. Francis Janvier. Sad face emoji. 0038. Alid last. Do you want me to sing you a lullaby? 0038. Francis Janvier. Yes, please. 0039. Alid last. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep, little Francis. That's all I got. 0041. Francis Janvier. That was so beautiful. I'll remember this moment forever. 0042. Alid last. Shut up and sleep now.